Morning, everybody. I've lifted up the lectern so that I can stand up straighter because my best critic informs me that I'm tending to stoop down. So I'll try and speak out. Obviously, today we've been thinking in a somber way, correctly, about the price paid for our freedoms, and we honour the sacrifice of those who took up arms and died on our behalf, that we've entered into the peace that they won. And we also think, too, about people who still carry physical and mental scars from battle, from war, that that legacy continues. And, of course, as Paula has mentioned, too, we have family members, perhaps in more distant family now, people from this town, from this church, who paid that price on our behalf. And I'm sure very often too, we always reflect, what causes wars? We recognize how dreadful they are as we see what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in the Middle East at the moment, the dreadful cost. And so we see that when evil gains a foothold, when security and peace is threatened, whatever the cause, it could be dictators, it could be crime, it could be through terrorism, extreme ideologies and so on, then we find that peaceable people, as we heard, somebody who wants to be a bank clerk, and so many others, peaceable people, have to mobilize to defend their freedoms, to fight for security, for order. And we're also conscious that after all the fighting is gone, there remains a peace to be won, because hostility very often simmers. It's like in the school playground, the teachers rush in. I'm not sure if teachers are allowed to do this even anymore, but separate two kids who are beating each other. And it's that business about saying, right, you stop fighting. The next stage is, can you get them to shake hands? What's going on inside carries on, and we still see that. So we recognize that long after the formal hostilities have stopped, a lot of the issues behind all of that carry on, and they have to be dealt with. And of course, sometimes, classically, some issues carry on for generations. If you think about the situation in Northern Ireland, how people seem to manage to hold historical grudges for hundreds of years. So we've been hearing in Psalm 46, our God makes peace. He makes wars cease. He sees the whole history of humanity. And at one level, it can be quite depressing, because most of the history of all of humanity is about a struggle for supremacy or peace. God sees the long term. In our own lifetimes, we've seen tyrants come and go. In history, we see that. In the scriptures, we learn of other tyrants, whether it's Pharaoh going right the way back, or whether it's Nebuchadnezzar, or whether it's the Caesars, whoever. God has the long view, and in the end, his will prevail. I've already hinted a little bit, because we've talked about the sacrifices, military sacrifices. But there are threats other than war to our society and our peace, as we well know. We owe our gratitude to the armed forces, but we also recognize that there is a different kind of war going on all around us, generation after generation. It's the kind of war which only really sparks into military conflict when all else fails. And of course, the heroes we've been reading about in Hebrews, they waged that kind of war. They stood against things like oppression and coercion. They exposed lies. They exposed criminal powers and corruption. There's this kind of warfare that has been going on through the ages and goes on today. And just like those heroes, we still need people who will speak truth to power, who will stand up for justice, stand up against exploitation, which might be on a national level, it might be in a particular area in a town, where someone has to come forward and stand up and take the risk of going against the grain. We need people who are prepared to stand up and take the ridicule, perhaps, being regarded as fools for standing up in the face of what looks like certain suffering and difficulty, or to be humiliated, in order to speak for the weak, in order to do the right thing. Because we need to remember that it's people like those who stood up, who took the wounds, who helped to build the victories that they won for us, for our peace and security, for the rule of law, for truth and integrity to work in society. We depend upon that. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to stand against the tide. And so down the ages, we've got the famous names, of course, from Hebrews chapter 11. But there are others. We think about martyrs for faith and truth down the ages. Think of the apostles who built up the church, who taught and modeled what it is to be a Christian in different societies and ages. We think about the saints who modeled the way of Jesus to the communities around them, all making their mark. They won truth. They won the grounding of truth. They built foundations. Before they did that, there was no foundation. They set the standards. And we stand on the ground that they won so that we can build in our day. But somebody had to do it. Their ceiling may become our floor. Another saying is that we stand if we on the shoulders of giants if we can see further, because somebody took things to a level for us to see beyond. So we neglect those truths at our peril. It's right that we should be grateful for them. It's right that we should think of them. But these things that they won are fragile. And in every generation, they get eroded because people forget and bad habits begin to reassert themselves. A fresh generation has forgotten. And again, Hebrews reminds us to be vigilant. It points us to Jesus, who modeled obedience and love, who won salvation for us. We need to remember them. Last week, of course, we were celebrating All Saints. And we were thinking clearly of major saints, famous people. But then we were reminded that actually, while there are the special ones, the people that we remember, that we're all called to be saints. In Philippians, Paul addresses the church as God's chosen people, his saints in Philippi. So, in fact, everyone who bears the name of Jesus is called to live that kind of faithful life. And we also know, it's quite common, isn't it, when somebody comes for some decoration or they are commended, perhaps by a television or newspaper reporter, and they say, what you have done is absolutely marvellous. You stand at your... And they say, well, I just did what was the right thing. They didn't say, I'm going to be a hero today. They did what came their way in their course of work, in their daily lives. And so that was the thing. They never sought that recognition. And it's the same with people like winning whether it's the Victoria Cross or what have you. They say, well, I was there. I had to do it. I just did what was the right thing. They didn't do it to gain recognition. They did what they did in the circumstances they found. And if you think about it, while we celebrate notable people, society is not fixed by just a few notable people. There aren't enough of them around to solve all the problems and the potential problems that we have in the world around us. But their example can spur us to thinking, if they can do that, I can do something similar. Not to set out to be a hero, but to do the right thing. To build against this insidious work of corruption in society. It's that working together that changes society and helps to keep it right. In addition to that, I think we've all got personal heroes. We can perhaps remember people who quietly modeled faith to us. Maybe we didn't realize it. Maybe it was a teacher at school or somebody who stuck in our mind because they were different. People perhaps that we knew in family or in the neighborhood who were examples of integrity, of goodness, who were generous, who were hardworking. It might have been at home, it might have been at school, it might have been in church, it might be people who gave to any of the other organizations. I was thinking only this last week of Skipper, who was our scoutmaster in my village, who every holiday basically took the troop with him. He was there every Friday night without fail. He had a family of his own, but he selflessly gave all that time and attention to us boys. And he modeled something important about being faithful, about being loyal, about being generous. We all have our heroes. People who went the extra mile. Someone who took a special interest in us and helped to model those things. And also, I'm very grateful to people who, when I was a very young Christian, modeled things to me about walking in faith, about reading the Bible, about how to pray. Simple things, but somebody has to do it in order to lead us on and to say, to set that vision, to say, this could be you. God could use you too. Make yourself available. Don't keep standing back. So, everyone can't be famous. Everyone cannot be a leader or a celeb or an influencer. Those are the in things, aren't they? People who regard themselves as movers and shakers in society, who want to be recognized. But we don't need to seek the headlines. We don't need to seek recognition. We can all play our part where we live. We can all play our part within our family, our community, our neighbors, the church, the clubs that we might belong to, wherever we are, to live for Jesus. To model something that is right and good. Is it challenging? Of course it is. Jesus never made a secret of that. And we might be ribbed, but occasionally somebody will notice. It's interesting, when I was at work, that's not true. One or two people would perhaps talk about faith, But what really tended to happen, and maybe you found this too, the people who would never want to be seen would come up to you when nobody else is looking and ask you about something or share a problem with you. Because even though you weren't spouting about faith, they recognized that here was somebody I could trust. And we can all be in that place. We can all share. And we can all point people gently, or perhaps more directly, to Jesus. And we can tell them what he's done for us and what he can do for them. We're all engaged in this battle for the ages, down the ages, where evil encroaches insidiously all around us. A battle for truth. A battle for integrity, of loyalty, of goodness, all around us. And Jesus continues to lead us in that war, in that battle. But Hebrews reminds us to be encouraged by Jesus, to consider him, to think about him, our pioneer, to be encouraged, to follow his way, and to not lose heart. Let's just pray. Lord, you know that we don't consider ourselves to be heroes at all. We're amazed at your love. Would you, Lord, guide us where we are? Help us, Lord, to be willing to do that extra bit. Help us, Lord, to trust you if we speak up or if we stand out to defend someone who needs you, someone who's in trouble, or to speak truth. Would you help us, Lord, by your Spirit, give us that wisdom. May we be a blessing to those around us. Amen.